Now then, I would like, with the help of the Lord, to consider a subject tonight that in many places is unpopular, but not because it is unbiblical, it is biblical, but because it is a subject that tends not only to strike the seriousness in the hearts of men, but because it is to a large degree a frightening subject. Heaven is the place of the redeemed of all the ages. 1 Peter 1:3-4 says that we have an inheritance reserved in heaven. It's incorruptible. And it's there for the people of God. But you know, friends, heaven has an opposite in the New Testament writings. It is hell. I have attempted this week to state the conditions and terms that God has given to us in His Word, which, if men will comply with them, will have the remission of all of their past sins. Those who fail to comply will be banished to hell forever on the last day. So let's look at this particular title. What if I go to hell? Make the pronoun I personal, applicable to any one of us, to every one of us. If I go to hell, it will be my fault. There very well could be influences beyond my very own that might to some extent seek to direct me from the path of right onto the path of sin and heartache and eternal shame. But the choice and the decision which is made ultimately is within my own grasp, within my own power and freedom of choice that God has instilled within mankind. If I go to hell, it will not be the time to blame God. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. God is not willing, or He does not wish, that man perish, but He wants man to come to repentance, to change his course of conduct, and to look unto God, and to abandon the evil within his life. So I cannot blame God. I cannot blame my fellow man, except to the extent that my fellow man did influence me to choose the path of wrong, of sin, and error. But the choice is mine. If I go to hell, it will be my fault, and therefore it will be too late for those who are living to cry for me. If I go to hell, it will be too late for my loved ones, my mother, father, sister, brother, uncle, aunt, nephews, nieces, and all the 52nd and 3rd cousins to show concern for me. Any concern that is shown should be shown on this side of eternity, before the soul leaves the body and the body dies. This side of the resurrection morning, this side of the judgment bar of Jesus the Christ. If any of us die and go to hell, if men would cry an ocean of tears, wishing that they could have another opportunity to influence us to that which is right, it would not do any good. If I go to hell, it will be my fault because, number one, each man will be judged according to the things done in his body, according to what he has done, whether it is good or bad. Not judged according to what you've done in your body. You'll not be judged according to what I've done in my body. You'll be judged according to what you have done in your body. I'll be judged according to what I've done in my body. Each man will be judged according to what he has done in his own body, whether it's good or evil. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul said, as the Spirit did guide him in the writing, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that we may give an account of the things done in the body according to what we have done, whether it's good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We please God, Galatians 1:10, but we persuade men. We don't try to persuade God and please men. We please God and persuade men to turn and prepare to meet their God. It will be my fault. My fault because the Bible emphasizes that man is going to be judged according to the gospel. Romans 2:14-16. The gospel demands complete obedience and full compliance with the terms that God has given in order for man to please his maker. Hebrews 5:89, the sacred volume says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, that is most gracious Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of the heavens, but he that doeth the will, not of himself, but of my Father who is in heaven. Many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied by thy name? Have we not cast out demons in thy name? And have we not done many mighty works by thy name? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, those of you who work iniquity. Well, wait a minute, Lord. What do you mean you never knew them? He knew them in that he knew they existed. But he did not know them in the sense of sanctioning what they were doing. He did not recognize their actions as being lawful. That's the key to the word lawlessness from the term anomia, meaning to act in violation of law. It could be because of ignorance or because of violation of a principle of law. Nonetheless, he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, those of you that work iniquity. And then he compares two men to two builders in the following language. Those who hear these sayings of mine and do them, I will liken him unto a man that built his house upon the rock. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and did smite upon that house, did beat upon that house, but it did not fall because it was founded upon a rock. The one who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them is likened unto a man who built his house upon the sand. The rains descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And such teaching was so marvelous in nature that they were astonished at his teaching. For he did not teach them as the scribes. He, that is our Lord, taught them as one having authority. May God bless us to be builders upon the rock, upon the truth, upon the solid foundation in religion. and not satisfied until we do build upon such a foundation. We won't be able to blame God or any other man, only ourselves, if we go to hell. You notice the word "if" there? It shows that men can choose not to go. Well, there will be many who will go. If I go to hell, I will be there forever. Forever. Young friends, think of it. Forever. Forever. That's an unending period. For all eternity. No escape. Not even the possibility of an escape. Not even the thought with an intention to escape. Bound by the figurative or symbolic chains of eternal darkness for all eternity. Darkness that Jude and Peter indicate is so thick, as it were, that he calls it the blackness of darkness forever. That phrase in the language of the New Testament actually describes darkness that one could reach out and touch. Darkness that is so thick and loathsome that it could be weighed in scales. Eternal darkness. In hell forever. Matthew 25:41, the Lord says about the devil and his messengers, his angels, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the 1,000-year burning fire." No. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the million-year burning fire." No. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the trillion years of burning fire." No. "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared originally not for men, but for the devil and his angels. But those who choose to live like him shall share with him the agony and the pain of eternal misery and torment forever and ever unto the ages of the ages." Verse 46, the Lord said, "And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." The punishment will exist as long as the quality of life of the redeemed. The quality of life to be shared by the redeemed will exist as long as the punishment prepared for the wicked. The awful, terrifying, frightening place called hell will not be a place from which men shall escape. Forever. Man's mind cannot fathom what is involved in the terminology of forever. Why? Because we are creatures of time. We look at time through watches and clocks and calendars, years, decades, millenniums. But eternity is not to be thought of as even related to how man sees time. A little child asked an older gentleman once to please give an example that might just give a hint as to a portion of eternity. And the older gentleman with the hoary head and eyes of wisdom and a face showing the wear of many years and the skin showing the aging from the sun sat down upon a stump and said, "My young friend, come. Think of this. The moon and the earth. The earth is made of bits of sand. A little hummingbird comes to the earth, takes one bit of sand and puts it in its beak, and begins that long, treacherous flight from the earth to the moon. He goes to the moon, he stops, he releases the particle of sand, and he rests for 1 billion years before returning. But after 1 billion years, he returns for one more particle of sand. He returns and he rests for another 1 billion years. By the time the earth, being a mass of sand, has been transferred to the moon by the little hummingbird, the clock of eternity strikes one. Rough though it is, it does give to human minds some slight indication of this dreaded period of duration. If I go to hell, I will be there because of unforgiven sin. There is no excuse for any responsible person not to have his sins forgiven by God Almighty. Let's look at the alien. That is the one who is an unbeliever, who is not in the body of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, bound for hell, according to the Bible. This includes those in human churches that cannot be found written in the Bible or did not have any authority to exist from the Bible. It includes those of idolatrous religions, Shintoism, Mohammedism, Hinduism, Buddhism. All of those religions that, though they might have some within them that are honest and good from the eyes of men, they are not authorized even to exist. They're still in their sins, bound for torment. And yet the Bible's plan is plain. What must the one do is not in Christ? He must have faith in Christ, in God, in God's word. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He must repent of all of his sins. Acts 2:38, Peter told the Jews on Pentecost, "Repent ye and be immersed, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven." Acts 17:30, God commands all men everywhere to repent. And Acts 3:19 enforces the same truth. He must confess Jesus as Lord by mouth and by life. Matthew 10:32, those who do not confess him, he will not confess before the Father, but will deny. Confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:10. Then he must be immersed in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the remission of all past sins. Matthew 28:19, Acts 2:38, and Mark 16:16. He that believeth and is immersed shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. The forgiveness of past sins is within the reach of any and all who hear the truth and are willing to accept God's word on God's terms and therefore be forgiven by God and added to the body of God's Son. Acts 2:47, the Lord adds together those who are being saved, and he does it day by day as they are being saved. Those who are immersed are not added to human churches, but to the one body of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 12:13, Paul said, for by one spirit were you all immersed into one body. The word by there indicates not that the spirit is the substance of the immersion, but that the spirit is the one who, by means of the sacred truth which he inspired men to write, instructs men to be immersed, and they will then be members of the one body. Forgiveness of sins results. Redemption through his blood, Ephesians 1:7. The forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1:7, Colossians 1:13-14. Remission of all sins. Now, why would a person being in error, knowing the truth of God and how to escape the wrath of God on the day of God, remain an enemy of God and therefore be banished or kept out of the city of God? Yes, if I go to hell, I'll be there because of unforgiven sin. But then you have those who have obeyed the gospel of God that did not keep on living according to the will of God, and they also become the enemies of God. Because anyone who becomes a friend of the world is an enemy of God, James 4:4. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. All that is in the world, lust of the flesh and the lust of eyes and the vainglory of life, these things are not of the Father but of the world. The world is passing away and the lust thereof, but he who does the will of God keeps on abiding forever. 1 John 2:15-17. Romans 12:1-2 indicates the same basic principle. That one is to be transformed by the renewing of his mind, that he may be able to prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. But when one who has obeyed the gospel of God stops doing the will of God, therefore becomes an enemy of God, he is not without hope. He's not to allow his sins to crush him and to beat him and grind his head in the mire of wickedness, ungodliness, and the wretchedness of the evil one. He is to repent of his sins, turn away from them, confess them to God, and pray God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:8-9. If we confess our sins, a conditional clause, the resulting consequence comes from the confession of the sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Acts 8:22, we find one who himself heard the gospel, believed, and was immersed. His name was Simon, formerly a sorcerer. After he obeyed the gospel, he beheld the signs that were being done by Philip. And he sought to purchase the Spirit with money, that is the power that the Spirit bestowed. For he said, give me also this power, that on whomever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. Peter said, you have neither part nor lot in this matter. That is, you have no part in this matter. Your heart is not right with God. You're in the goal of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. Repent of this thy wickedness. It's nobody else's, Simon. You're not going to escape or blame anybody else for your actions. This is your wickedness. You are to repent of it and pray to God that perhaps the faults of your heart will be forgiven you. And then he turned and asked Peter, pray you for me, that none of these things you have spoken come upon me. Yes, if we go to hell, it'll be because of unforgiven sin, and those who die in their sins will not be with the Lord. John 8:21-24. Next. If I go to hell, I will be among the most depraved creatures that ever lived upon the face of the earth. who are banished to the eternal flames of hell and torment will be among the earth's most detestable human beings. They will be among the drunkards, fornicators, adulterers, whoremongers, homosexuals, lesbians, the bums. They will be among the racial bigots, black or white. Racism is not merely a matter of white towards black. It's black towards white and black towards black. But that's the side that's rarely ever seen. Because of the history of the nation and what history says, which is partial in my view, that it's always been the black man has been the slave of the white man. There are black men that are slaves of black men. There is jealousy among blacks for various reasons. There is bigotry among blacks, but you don't hear much about that. Well, I'm here to tell you about it because I'm in the black race and I know it's there. See, I can see it and don't have to worry about getting away with it because I know it's there. I don't have to worry about being run out of town on a rail by blacks. Because if they come after me, we all know the same trick. I'll just close my eyes, keep my mouth shut, and ease on out through the woods. And I just really appreciate you good brothers and sisters this week, as we all are sheep in God's family, for receiving me as the black sheep of the family for at least 1 week. But truly, those who will be in hell will be among the most depraved of earth's creatures, will be among the thieves, the liars, as I said, the bums, the drunkards, the sexually immoral, the impure of every sort, idolaters, false teachers, religionists who thought they were doing God's will, but never did go to the Bible to prove they were doing God's will and were self-deceived. They will all be there. It includes Hitler, Mussolini, and Beanie Weenie, if there was such a one who died in sin. You know, it's detestable now to look on the television and to see how quote-unquote gay rights and homosexuality are promoted in the large cities of this nation. But you know, we don't have to be with them there. But can you imagine being with them in hell for all eternity with no way of escape? If I go to hell, we go to hell, our lives will have been completely worthless. Think about it. If I go to hell, I will have been better off never to have been born from the womb of a mother, and as a result of my father both bearing some degree from the American Indian Nation, Cherokee. But think, if I'm lost, I will have been better off never to have been born, fought off. But I was born, I'm here, I'm real. So I don't want to go to hell. We do not want to go to hell. May God help us to make whatever amends need to be made to do whatever needs to be done to avoid that horrible place on the last day and to receive the blessings of God in heaven. Friends, if you've heard the gospel preached here this week or weeks before from Brother Warnock and other faithful preachers, why continue to delay? Why turn your back on God? Please take this night while you're breathing and the blood is warm and rushing through your veins and while you can think and can act to receive the gospel in obedience to it. If you are a member of the body of the Lord, but you're not faithful to God, and you know you're not, go to God after having repented of your sins and confessed them to Him and prayed God's forgiveness. It's urgent. Indeed it is, for we're not promised tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come, but we have right now. And right now we ask you to come as we stand together and sing.